What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Syndicates, the Super Bowl edition, the final podcast of the first year that we've done this together. It's been fun so far. We appreciate all the support. All three of us are here for the Super Bowl, of course. Vic, you are thawing out, I hope, from the cold there in Chicago.
Yeah, man, surviving. Me and John, too, I feel like he's in the same little weather pattern. It was brutal, man, but I'm happy. It's about to be 40 degrees this weekend. I'm about to bust out the shorts.
Yeah, I can't wait.
John, you're battling more of the sniffles plus some flu, right?
Yeah, man, I caught this bad flu that was going around, that and this polar vortex we got. Thank God it's all over with. Super Bowl right around the corner. I can't wait, man.
I know, and it's going to be, like Vic said, it's getting pretty – I think we're going to hit 50 over here on Monday. So
yeah, we're going to be in, like, the 40s.
I know. It goes from insane cold to spring-like temperatures in 3 days. Yeah. But so this is the first time we've talked since the championship games, and I need to get your guys' opinion on the call that everybody's been talking about for the past week and a half. What – do you think about the call in the Saints game? Vic, you can go first when you saw it, because we all talk. I think we all mentioned that was kind of some BS there.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, that was BS.
I think he dropped.
Yeah, I mean, we all thought that, like, it was a bad call, right? Like, it's just like, what do you do about it from here? You know what I'm saying? Like, I always thought, like, I mean, like, when we saw it and there wasn't a flag, and then, like, 2 seconds went by, I mean, that was the end of it. Like, I knew that, you know, that was it. There was going to be no flag. There's nothing that they can do about it at that point. But, like, what do they do about it from here is what I always thought about. And, like, everyone made it seem like it's like, such a big deal to figure this out. Why can't there just, like, be, like, a eye in the sky? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Something for so egregious, so obvious. They got, like, you know, you go to the casino and there's people that are watching for cheaters all the time, right? Like, there should be an eye in the sky ref that, like, is above ground, showing that, you know, if there's a play like that, right, that, you know, buzz it down. Oh, hey, listen, this was a very egregious. This should have been called. Let's get this reviewed. Or, you know, or like that play with Tom Brady where he got hit in the head, right? He didn't get hit in the head. No. I don't know. You know, maybe you can make that only for playoffs, except, you know, and not for the whole regular season. Or maybe you give each coach, you know, 3 challenges a year or 4 challenges a year that they can use, like, an egregious call that didn't get called. You know what I'm saying? Something along those lines would work. You know, I know you can't call every penalty. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
There's holding calls. There's holding calls on every play, basically. Or there's pass interference. I don't want to see that pass interference call during the regular season. That's, you know what I'm saying? But, like, on such a high stage, like that Saints-Rams games was on, an eye in the sky could have said, you know, this was pass interference. Or if they had a thing where, you know, the refs, the coaches had 3 challenges a year. I don't know what you'd call it, but you make up a name for it. And if they, you know, they carry them on for the whole, you know, regular season or playoffs or whatnot. And then you can say, hey, you got to check this one out. Something like along those lines. But, I mean, yeah, it was a BS call. They missed it. But, guys, you know what? I've watched so much football in my life. It happens all the time. It's just like it was just on such a high stage that this one stands out. But there's a million, you know, golf got face masks 2 drives before that, right?
And true.
They didn't call it. They probably would have ended up first and goal on the 5 and scored a touchdown. But, you know, they don't bring that one up. So there's just so many plays like that that happen that there needs to be, like, something that could be done. Like, either the – like, I like the, one of the two things I said. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think what you just said was very good. And then the only thing I've heard a lot of Rams fans that I work with say that same thing about the Jared Goff thing. And the only counter I have to that is that if that call was made, it doesn't definitively say, okay, the Rams are going to win the game. Whereas if that call was made for the Saints, there's like a 99% probability, unless like some Tony Romo slip of the fingers catching the ball happens on the field goal attempt. But there's pretty much zero chance that the Saints lose that game. So that's really the only difference, I think, in those two calls. Vic, what do you think on the whole thing?
Yeah, sorry, I dropped off earlier, but man, I think the Saints got robbed, but we've talked about it ad nauseum. There has to be something going forward, kind of like John said, where just for the playoffs in such big game situations, that there's something in place to help with that kind of stuff, man. But I know it wasn't a penalty, so you can't review penalties. I don't know how they're going to kind of make the change. I've seen some like good proposals, but there's got to be something in place that just does not rob fans of that team going forward. If that happened to the Bears, I would literally have died. Like, I would have just jumped off the river. I would have jumped off the bridge.
Yeah. I mean, if that happened to me as a Lions fan, I don't know what I would have did. I would have went apeshit also. So,
like, I know Saints fans that are like, they're not going to watch the NFL anymore because they think it's rigged. I mean, just because, like, to even have these kind of thoughts looks bad upon the NFL, right? And Goodell isn't doing a really good job of, like, addressing it. So, like, I think if they just apologize and, like, we're like, hey, we're going to look into, like, making some rule changes so something like this doesn't happen again, I think a lot more people would be, happy and kind of looking forward to next season. But it's definitely a little tainted, which kind of sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, college football has it where, they run a play, a safety smashes a wide receiver in the helmet. And then, they're about to, they go back into the huddle. They're about to start the next play. And then they get buzzed down. Oh, that was helmet to helmet.
Yep.
They could do something just along those lines on a pass interference call, on a out of bounds play, or on a helmet hit like that happened to Brady where he totally missed them. So, I mean, it can be done. They just need an eye in the sky, another ref.
And they can afford it, man. Like every big game, and like you said, John, we don't want it for like every game in the regular season, but the playoffs, man.
Playoff games,
right. And like FIFA World Cup, I know, did something similar like that, where like there's a guy that kind of buzzes the main guy if something happened in the box, right? Like for a goal.
Right.
I mean, it's serious, man. There's like these guys, and like think about it from the Saints' point of view. They came back after that brutal loss last year, worked hard as shit to like, get back to where they're going to the Super Bowl, and to like have their season end like that too is pretty demoralizing, not only for the fans, but like as athletes and players.
So Eddie, you're the guy in the sky. I'm only asking because you got that Saints future ticket out of there, right? You're the guy in the sky, right? You buzz down on that golf face mask. You got to buzz down on that golf face mask too, though, right?
Yeah, and I think you would have to do that. It depends on like what you put in for the rules. If you say it's only like in the last 2 minutes where we're going to allow this stuff to happen, or we only do it in the fourth quarter. However, you got to kind of come up with some rules. But I like your idea, like what you said with college and the targeting rule that they have. I think that's something that the NFL should implement because they do it pretty quick in college too. It's not like it delays the game too much. But at the same time, I'm like you guys where I don't want every single, last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter to be like an NBA, last minute where everybody's calling timeout after every out of bounds. So
just for playoffs.
Yeah, just for playoffs or, something major, because it's just you can't have a game where it costs a team like that. Because like Vic said, man, you're going through 60-hour work weeks, not seeing your family for 4 months pretty much, and putting so much effort in the off season your whole life. And then just to have it kind of get blown on one play, man, as a player, that's so, so demoralizing. I mean, that changes legacies. Sean Payton and Drew Brees have the chance to go to a Super Bowl and, get to their second one. Now they're not going to get there because of that. I tell you guys all the time, like my wife, she's a big Saints fan. She didn't go to work the next day. She was depressed. And she's not like those people you mentioned where she's never going to watch football again. She's kind of, I mean, she's still bummed about it now, but there's nothing you can do at this point. So, and I don't think you should go back and play the game again. That's kind of,
that's just silly talk.
Yeah. That's just a little outrageous, but man, that's just really bad because that call really, which should have been made. I mean, you could call three different things on that play. You could call defenseless receiver. You could call helmet to helmet. You could call pass interference. Like, that's the difference between that and the Goff one, where he kind of like raised his face mask. So I think you can, yeah, you're going to miss those at time to time. But with this one, man, you had the opportunity to call three different things if you wanted to, and none of them were called. So that's another thing there. And the refs were just in such a good position for that. Like, you see all the different camera angles, the people that had phones in the stands, they found a way to blow it. And like you guys, I think we all kind of agree. We don't want the game slowed down to where it's like, oh my God, they're reviewing this again, or they're reviewing that on like every other play, trying to look for penalties. I think targeting should definitely be reviewed, maybe pass interference, anything helmet related, maybe that you can definitively holding. It's going to happen on every play, so I don't think you should review stuff like that. But face mask, I don't know, a couple different things you could probably include to make sure that teams don't get screwed like that in the future. So,
man, all I kept thinking about after that happened, when the Lions played the Cowboys, I don't even know if you guys will remember this or not, and might not even be a big deal to anybody else anymore, but the Lions played the Cowboys, and it was a third down with about a couple minutes left in the game. We get this first down, and we basically run out the clock. We're winning the game at this point. Stafford throws a pass to Pettigrew, and the linebacker just completely smashes into Pettigrew. They throw a flag. They call pass interference, right? The initial call was for pass interference. This is in the playoff game, a wild card round, before that Dez catch that became a non-catch. Pete Morelli came out and said, there is no foul for pass interference. That's what his call was after they threw the flag. So, like, I mean, it happens all the time. You know what I'm saying? And we ended up losing that game. Like, we punted the ball. Cowboys went down the field, scored. So, it's just crazy. Like, it happens a lot more than you guys think.
I remember that game, man. And that's probably even, like, a worse feeling, thinking you got a flag and then, like, thinking it up.
I hate him. I think he said I think they said he's retiring. I was watching the Pro Bowl. But the guy – when the guy came on and said there is no foul for pass interference, this place went bad shit. So I mean, it's crazy. Like, what do they do on that play? Like, does somebody else come up on the and say, oh, let's review that again? You know, it's just wild. So
what'd you guys think about sorry to cut you off, John. What I was saying was, like, four of the refs were like from kind of the West Coast or LA.
I don't think
that's like any big deal, or like, because like, how do you go back and like see where the guy grew up, what he's a fan of, what if his wife or kid is a fan of a team? Like, where do you draw the line?
Yeah, you know, I've seen that before. I think it was with the replacement refs, so that one year something went wrong, and the guy ended up being a fan of
the Saints. It was actually the Saints he was a fan of, and they took him off the game like last minute.
That's wild. Yeah, so that's crazy. I think the guy just, like, you know, you don't want to be that guy, you know? I mean, he became that guy, but you don't want to be that guy, like, you're throwing a flag, and I don't know how he didn't see it. I mean, he was right there, but, like, you know, he's a human too, man. It's got caught in the emotions of the game and probably just didn't want to be the guy to throw a flag at the end of the game, so I don't know.
I think it didn't really have too much of an impact on the game, but I also don't think you should allow that to happen where you have four referees from Los Angeles reffing the game just because of the influence or it could possibly have in the back of your head. Like, you know, you're a normal person. These guys are part-timers, so they do drive to work. They probably listen to some sports talk on the way. And, you know, it could kind of influence your thoughts a little bit, even if you're not a fan of the team. Maybe you're listening to some sports talk and you're hearing – you know, all this stuff about the Rams, you're kind of getting a little emotionally involved in their playoff run. Who knows? And then all of a sudden you're reffing one of their games. I mean, it's probably not going to really have too much of an impact on it. I mean, I don't think these guys are going to sleep with, like, you know, Jared Goff, fat heads on their bedroom walls or anything, but there could be some influence there, but it's just a bad look. Not something that the NFL wants to see happen. So, but yeah, I mean, John, like you said, these calls do happen all the time. I had the one that probably Buffalo recognizes the most. I don't know if you guys are familiar with hockey at all, but there's a 1999 Stanley Cup Finals.
Yep.
Brett Hall.
Brett Hall.
Yep. His skate was in the crease and there was a rule or your skate can't be in the crease. And then they changed it like 2 weeks later after that game. So that was probably the Buffalo one, but I don't know. Yeah. Saints, I feel bad for them. The way my wife said it was like last year, it was their fault. So she can get over that. This year it was kind of out of their control, which kind of stings a little bit more. So
yeah,
two heartbreaking ways to go, but it happens. It's the NFL. So
man, Eddie, you're going to have to tell the viewers if they want to skip over the 20-minute recap of 2 weeks ago. And before we start talking about Super Bowl, we just went 20 minutes on this.
Or I know. I'm sure people are probably sick of hearing about it. But at the same time, I look at Twitter and I see all the, like, when somebody mentions something about it.
Oh, they're not over it. Yeah.
They're not over it. Because I looked at, like, I don't know if you guys follow Darren Revelle. There was, like, something he just posted, like, I don't know, a couple tweets the other day. I was on his page. And then he posted one about the call, and it had, like, 900 replies to it. Whereas all of his other tweets were like under 100. So yeah, clearly people are still talking about this. And I mean, if you look at Roger Goodell's press conference the other day, I was watching that and man, he was just getting peppered left and right with questions about that the whole time. So,
see that. Hey, really quick. Peyton was wearing that clown shirt that.
Yeah.
That was wild, man.
I wish somebody saw it at the press conference and was like, "Hey, Sean," because he's wearing a zip up. Hey, Sean, you might unzip in that a little bit so we can see what's underneath.
But you can't get by the Reddit and Twitter sleuths. You know what I mean?
No way. Yep.
Yeah. All right, so we'll jump into the Super Bowl now. We got the Rams and the Patriots. A lot of money coming in on the Patriots. 2.5 is the consensus line for the Patriots. They're the favorites. Vic, I know you're the man when it comes to percentages and everything. How much money exactly we got coming in on New England still?
Oh, it's nuts, man. I wrote about this like right when the line came out after the two games. It opened at Rams -1. And I can't lie, I took the Patriots at +1. I want to talk to you guys about my dilemma, but in 9 minutes, so much money came in on the Patriots that they moved the line to Patriots -1. And now it's -2.5, -3 in most books, and you have over 70% of bettors on the Patriots. So it's all pack money, sharp, public. So it's all Patriots, man. Vegas is going to need the Rams.
Yeah, and it's pretty crazy that there's so much money that's come in on the Patriots, and I feel like it's a little bit of recency bias just because of how they've done in the past two rounds that they played in. We'll get to our picks in a little bit. John, are you surprised with how much money's coming in on the Patriots?
You know what? I was surprised that that everything is on New England. The line, I could totally see the first 10 minutes because, you know, what they saw last was New England beating Kansas City. And the Rams not supposed to be beating the Saints, you know? So I saw why it changed from one way to one the other way, which really, honestly, how much does that really matter, right? But now it's all the way up to 2.5. And no one is taking the Rams, so it's crazy that, you know, I mean, it's going to go to 3. I mean, and I think Vic just said it at 3 at some places. So, yeah, man, I definitely think that's crazy that all the money is one way at the moment. So, I mean, things could change. You know, a lot of the money is going to come in on Sunday, but it's just wild that all the money is on New England.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy, especially in this big of a game. So, before we get to the picks and everything, we'll jump into some props. So I think we all had about 2 each. So John, you go first with the first prop you like that you might have taken.
Okay. Yeah. So I got a couple of them, man. You don't quote me on these odds because I don't have them in front of me at the moment and I can't find them. Maybe you guys can find them as I'm going through it, but did you guys see the Tom Brady, rush yards?
I did not see that one.
Okay, so when I saw it, and I'm not, and again, there's so many of them, I can't find it now. There's like hundreds of them that I'm looking at, but it's Tom Brady rush yards was a half. Yes, -115, no, -105, I think, right? over under a half a yard. I mean, that's yes all day, right? He's going to do a quarterback sneak for 1 yard. How is he not going to do a quarterback sneak for 1 yard? It's Tom. He does it every year. So I like that. I like the yes on the Tom Brady over a half a yard rushing is my first one. You guys want me to do my other one? You guys want to go around the circle here?
Yeah, let's go around the circle. Vic, which one do you like? Vic, are you there?
Oh, all right,
I'll go next. So the one that I have first that I bet was no score in the first 5 minutes of the game. Just because
I like that.
Super Bowls tend to start pretty slow, and the Patriots especially in their Super Bowls start really slow. So I think I read it somewhere. Yeah, so in Super Bowl 36 against the Rams, they started off no first quarter points. 38 against the Panthers, no first quarter points.
They haven't.
The only time they scored a point in the first quarter of all their Super Bowls was Super Bowl 52 last year against the Eagles, which is just a field goal. So the Patriots tend to start pretty slow in the Super Bowls. And the Rams, I think with how much inexperience they have, I don't really see them coming out, going all the way down the field on the first drive and scoring a touchdown. So I really – and plus if they do, they're a ground-and-pound offense, so I feel like it could maybe take a little bit of time to get down the field. So I really like the no score in the first 5 minutes. I got that at minus 140. So I know some people out there might have, you know, 5.5 minutes at minus 130. So I think anything under 5.5, you should be okay. I just like the price of the 5 minute one. So that's the one I took. And I like that one so far. So
is it 5 minutes left in the first quarter or 5 minutes into the game?
Into the game. So as long as nobody scores, by the time the 10-minute mark hits, you win.
Oh, wow. That's a nice bet.
Yeah. So it's a little minus 140. So you got to pay a little price to get there, but I don't think it's that bad of one to hit. So, Vic, you back on?
Yeah, I'm back, man. Talking a little props, I think the prop that I'm targeting is like Gronk props. Have you guys kind of seen what the Rams have done against elite tight ends this year?
Have not.
So I'll run through a few of the numbers and then I'll talk about. So I know like everyone's down on Gronk, you know, but to me, this might be his last game. So I think he's going to have a monster game. And just going over like Rams versus elite tight ends, week one against Cook, they gave up 9 catches for 180 yards. Week 7 against Kittle, 5 catches, 98 yards and a touchdown. Week 11 against Kelsey, 10 catches, 127 yards, a touchdown. Week 17 against Kittle, 9 catches for 149 yards and a touchdown. And the Gronk props are pretty low. It's like over 4 catches and over 51 yards, I believe. And so I was going to take both of those overs.
Okay. So you like the Gronk props. I've seen those. A lot of sharp guys have been on the Gronk props this week. So I think that's pretty good way to go.
A ton of props. I'll do them for fun. All the other ones, but like sometimes I feel like this is a little bit like fantasy where you could try to find a matchup you like or like a situational spot. So that's why I like those Gronk ones.
Yeah, I agree. Let me just see. Okay, so John, we'll go back to you. What's your second prop?
All right, so, I'm going to throw you out. Just a heads up, whoever's listening, I don't really do props that much. I like to just play the game. Like that first one I just told you, you know, just for fun. Here's one just for fun, right? So I'll give you this one quickly. They said the Gatorade bath, right? You probably can't do this one everywhere, but I don't know if you guys saw it on Twitter. They asked Gurley what color Gatorade do they drink in Los Angeles, and he said, you know, ice punch. So that's all. That's like a white color. So if you guys want a clear or white, if you guys want to hit that one, it's like plus 175. But my last one is. So I don't know. Did you guys see that on Twitter? He answered the question. So
I saw it, but I'm wondering if Gurley's trolling like he did. Like he's been trolling gamblers and fantasy people all year. So
yeah. So all right, maybe so. So that's just something I saw.
But it's worth it.
I mean, plus 175. Why not? Right?
It's just trolling, exactly.
So, The last one I like is that, will there be a fourth down conversion? And I'm trying to find the odds, guys, and I'm sorry because I don't really play props. I know you're paying more. There's going to be some juice into the yes, but I like that there will be a fourth down conversion made in the game. Maybe I can find the odds, or you guys can find them as we speak here. I don't know. I know you're laying at least 130, I think it was, for the will there be a fourth down conversion in the game.
Okay, so minus 140 is that's it.
Yeah, again, like I said, don't quote me, man. I could be way off. I can't remember. I can't find it at the moment because there's so many of them that I'm scrolling through. Maybe I can find it while you guys, you know, are talking about your other ones. But that's what I think I remember seeing.
Okay. So my second one that I have here, and it's tough because I've actually bet quite a few. The one I think I'm going to go with is, will Julian Edelman have a rushing attempt? And this is minus 110. I said yes, that he will have a rushing attempt. I think they're going to try and get a little creative. I also said yes to over 2.5 people throwing the football or having a pass attempt. So I think the Patriots are going to try and get creative. It seems like they tend to in these big games. I feel like they'll throw a reverse to Julian Edelman, or at least a pass attempt by him. So I think if you throw on both of those, one of them will hit. But the one I'm going to go with is just the yes for will Julian Edelman have a rushing attempt. I think they'll probably throw him some sort of reverse. I think they might even try, you know how the Rams do all those jet sweeps with their receivers. I don't know, maybe the Patriots will kind of copy one of those and throw one in with Julian Edelman. So I think you're going to get a rushing attempt there from Edelman at some point in the game. So that's the second one I'm going to go with. And then I got a fun one for later. I'm just trying to find if it's still out there because it might have gotten taken down. But while I look for it, Vic, what's your second one?
So I'm just doing both of those Gronk props, man, over 4 catches and over 51 yards. So
okay,
I'm kind of staying away from everything else. I might tail some of the ones that you guys talked about and just kind of take it easy, man. I also wanted to talk about the game and my situation. So when you guys are done, I'll get your advice on it.
Yeah, so my fun one that I have is, and I got to give credit to Gil Alexander. I'm kind of taking him from him, is first song by Maroon 5. And the research he did on this was he went back and looked at their last 37 concerts that they've done. And all 37 of those, 37 out of 37, Maroon 5's first song is What Lovers Do. So if you, yeah, if you go back and look at all 37 of their concerts, that's always been their first song. Maroon 5, I don't know. They don't seem like the type that might get risky and go out there and kind of change it up and
all right,
do something completely different for the Super Bowl. So
I like it.
I think What Lovers Do is a good one to kind of go with.
What are the odds?
So this is what it was crazy. So some people, I looked at two different places. Bovada didn't even have it listed at the beginning of the week. There was another sportsbook.com, AG, whatever it is. They had the field listed at plus 350. So I didn't get the field. Then they didn't have it listed either. But then they did list it, like, I don't know, probably middle of this week. And on Wednesday, I got it at plus 175. Then I saw yesterday it was listed at even money. And now I can't even find the prop. So if you can find it somewhere, What Lovers Do, if you can get anything plus money on that, I highly recommend to take it because, like I said, 37 out of 37, that's – you know, pretty good odds, and I don't think they're going to change it up. So
I'm gonna be now. I got something to look forward to at halftime.
This guy, I follow his props because he does extensive research on the Super Bowl halftime show. Like he did Katy Perry's first song was "Roar" because that's what she always opened up with when he like would study her concerts. That was what she was known for opening with, and kind of the same way as Maroon 5. I don't think she's going to be one that would kind of switch it up or anything. He also nailed Bruno Mars' "Will He Wear a Hat" prop when he did the halftime show because Bruno Mars had just gotten a haircut like 2 days before and he posted a picture on Instagram showing off his haircut. So clearly the dude's not going to wear a hat if he just got a nice fresh new haircut. always wants to show it off. So he hit that prop as well. Guy's pretty good when it comes to these props. So I'm not going to take credit for it, but I wanted to share that out with all of our listeners as well. So you have something forward to look forward to at halftime like John does. So, but yeah, if you can find it for sure, jump on it. So,
all right, Vic. So what are you going to do, man? You're going to hop off this plus one?
So that's the thing, man. So I took Patriots plus one, right? Now you're seeing the Pats at minus three. So I'm wondering if I should take the Rams plus three. One, because usually us three always go against the public. Two, the times Brady and Belichick have had issues is where a team has inside rush presence and you got Donald and Sue coming right up the middle on him. And then three, I'm trying to check this out, is not only is it against the public, but like every single Pats win has been by 3 points in the Super Bowl. And then they have a 1 6-point win, which was against the Falcons in the overtime when they made that crazy comeback. So when they win Super Bowls, it's not like they're winning by more than 3 points. So these are all the reasons why I'm thinking about taking the Rams, enjoying the game, trying to middle it, and then maybe get in on something on halftime where I could win some money. So I wanted to get your thoughts because you guys obviously think like me and are kind of the sharpest dudes I know. So what are you guys thinking?
Well, I like the Rams in the game. So I think you should try and go for at least the middle or get as much down on the Rams as you can. I think they should be the favorite in this game. I think, yes, the Patriots are playing well, but I also think that Kansas City just pulled a Kansas City in the playoffs and just choked on a hairy one again. And then the Chargers did what the Chargers do and just kind of – I think they almost ran out of gas with all the amount of trips they were taking on the road and not being too – they were too stubborn when they were playing that game against the Patriots and just wouldn't come out of their defense, and Brady was just eating them alive. So they just got out-coached there. I'm still not a believer in the Patriots. I know it's, you know, Tom Brady, and he's owned the Bills for the past 17 years, so I should probably learn my lesson by now, but – yeah, I like the Rams in this game. However, I will be the first to say that Patriots have not treated me well in the Super Bowl when I've bet against them. I took them against the Giants the second time. I went against them when they played Seattle, and Seattle kind of screwed that one up. But I did take the Eagles last year, so I guess I'm 1-2 in those games, hoping to get back to 500 here, but oh, man, if you can get plus three, I think you definitely shoot for the middle. I don't know. Do you think we're going to get a consensus plus three, or you think most are kind of hesitant to go to three?
I'm seeing most books are at 2.5, but there are a bunch that are shifting to three over this past week just because of so much Patriots money. So, and I have to count in multiple books. Like, one of them has it at three right now. So that's why I was like, should I just – you know, hedge a little bit, middle, try to just go equal, or, you know, what would you, John, what do you think? What do you think I should do? And then we can obviously talk about your pick.
And yeah, I mean, I'm on the Rams. So, I mean, the plus one, New England plus one, I'd completely hop off that. I like to gamble, you know what I'm saying? Especially on the Super Bowl. So I'm on the Rams.
My dilemma, man, it's the Super Bowl. Like, I don't want to play it safe. I just want to have fun, like take a side and go all in, right?
Right, that's what I'm saying. So, like, you know, you hop
there, like, oh, I went, you know, I don't win any money either way. Like, how fun is that?
Yeah,
you know, maybe if you can get the three, maybe if you can get Rams at three, right? And then maybe buy a hook. I don't know if you're allowed to do that. I don't know how much juice you're going to be laying out, but I mean, I don't, like you said, I don't see New England winning this game by more than 3 points if they pull it off. So that's the way I could see you middling it. But other than that, you know, and I'm on the Rams, man. I think they're going to win this game. So I love what the interior the D line is going to be able to do spot here, and it's not a road game. You know, Goff shouldn't have any issues playing. You know he had to settle down a little bit last week.
Yeah,
they're going to be able to hear each other just fine throughout the whole game. Tom Brady, I mean, and New England's defense last Super Bowl did absolutely nothing. And I don't know, man, but like Eddie, all I'm thinking about is what Eddie said and how Tom Brady hasn't treated him well during the Super Bowl. Tom Brady has not treated me well in Super Bowl. I had Rams minus the 14 points a million years ago when they played. What is it, 18 years now? I remember taking Rams minus 13, 14 points, 12 points, whatever it was. I had both Giants. I had New England against both Giants games. Giants won both those. I had the only one I can remember winning is the first Philly one. I lost that one too. I had Tom Brady in that game. The only one I can remember winning on Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, I had Seattle. Tom Brady beat me there. The only one I won was that Miracle Atlanta comeback that he made. I actually had him, and I loved him for that 1 year. And I had him last year against Philly, and he lost. So I think I just named them all. I think the only time I've ever won a Tom Brady Super Bowl was that New England Atlanta. So take that how you may, but I like the Rams this year. So
yeah,
maybe I can go 2-7 in Tom Brady's
Super Bowl. I mean, there's so many little factors. Like, this one can go either way. My counter to, like, the interior presence of Sue and Donald is the Patriots know that that's the only times they've struggled. So maybe they're going to combat it with, like, short, quick passes to their tight end, more running like they've done the last few games. And, I mean, it's Jared Goff's first game. I think experience is a big thing. So that's why, right, like, I jumped on the Patriots right when the line dropped. But right, I don't know, man. It's a tough game. I think all three of us have killed the regular season. The playoffs have been a little shaky, even though some of these games could have gone either way in our favor. But this is another one of those games I think comes down to the last drive.
Yeah, I actually think that the Rams are going to – I think if it wasn't the Patriots and this was Team A versus Team B, then A, the Rams would be favored, and B, I think they would kind of beat them pretty good. Just because the Patriots – this has probably been their – and Brady's even admitted it himself. This is probably the worst team he's ever played on since – I think he mentioned 2005. That was like the year that maybe the Jets won, or somebody – I don't know – won the division. But he said this really hasn't been a good team this year. And statistically, it's pretty much one of the worst teams that they've ever fielded since Brady and Belichick have been out there. So I know that they are turning it on for the playoffs, and they have been looking good. But, man, it's just really hard to trust this team. And when I kind of see this similar to the Tennessee game, because I think the Rams defense is very similar to how the Titans is, where it's not like super, you know, stout, best defense in the league type thing, but they get good rush, they get good line play from their defensive line. I think Dante Fowler and Michael Brockers are starting to come along on the outside too, at least getting the pass rush. So I don't know, man. It's tough because you give Belichick 2 weeks to play, and they're probably not going to be getting blown out by anybody. But at the same time, if I had to pick a coach to go up against Belichick, I'd probably pick McVay. So I'm also
– man.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was saying, like, last year I had New England last year in the Super Bowl, and what did the defense do? The defense for New England literally did not make one stop last year. So,
yeah.
I'm taking the better team over the better player slash – maybe better coach, you know.
The one other thing I think will be very important to see is like how the refs call the game, because
who's the ref?
No, I don't know. I'm just saying in general, like you know, New England's going to try to muddy it up a little bit, play physical, and I think if the Rams were smart, they would do the same to let their pass rush get to Brady. So like if they start calling some of those, you know, like ticky tack fouls, that might swing the game here there too.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty impressed with how Jared Goff played in the last game too. Even though I don't think they still should have won that game, I was still pretty impressed that like he didn't really have Todd Gurley. C.J. Anderson didn't do much, and I don't think he didn't play like at a Super Bowl or like crazy high level, but he went in there, and with how loud that place was, dude still made plays. He was really calm, like – I was watching Peyton Manning breaking him down on the detail thing that he does, and he's just like, you could see how calm Jared Goff was despite all the noise. It was when that play when Andrew Whitworth was like, you know, basically had to like go up to his ear hold so he could hear the play. he was just remaining very calm. So when I see him, how he went into that environment and was still able to remain so calm, I think the Super Bowl is going to be pretty similar for him, where he's not going to be, you know, the lights aren't going to be too bright for him, and he's going to perform okay. So I'm not too worried as I was.
Going to be easier.
Before then. I don't know if it'll be easier, but at least he won't have the crowd noise he's going to have to battle. So
yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. So those are still be some nerves, but the crowd noise won't be the same. Like I think Vic, you mentioned he's not going to be on the road. So I like the Rams here. If I can get a +3, I have at the books I have, I haven't been able to get a +3 yet. So I'm still kind of holding out some hope, but I'm also
I would wait till Sunday. Cause I'm hearing a lot of things where like from a lot of bookmakers that are thinking about moving it. So I would wait. You know, if you want to get the 3, just wait instead of putting it in right now. I don't see it going the other way.
All right. That's what I was going to ask you guys. If you think you could see it going the other way, because I'm afraid that I saw somebody dropped it down to 2 like earlier today or yesterday. So that's what kind of made me a little nervous. Do I want to hop on it now? Or I did take a little bit of the Rams money line because I got that at like +125. So I did take a little bit of that, but I haven't taken the actual spread yet.
Well, I'm thinking if your books are online, I would wait.
Yep.
And if you know, if we were in Vegas or something, or you were going to like the casino, then I would probably take it.
Yeah, because you can find one out there, I'm sure.
And they're getting, and some of those books are getting like big Rams money now from like some of the sharp bettors, so they're a little quicker to change it. But like the online books, everything I read said they're going to try to go to 3 from some of the odds makers.
Okay.
You know, I wish I could hear from, but I haven't heard nothing. For last year, that guy Better X.
Yeah, nothing yet.
Yeah, he won the World Series, and then he smashed him on. He had $6 million
on Philly.
He spread it across Vegas.
You know, you make a good point, John. Let me. I'm going to reach out to some of the guys that I know there and see if he's back this weekend.
Man, you got to let me know because I've been waiting and I. Haven't
I will. I mean, you're. That's a great point. He let it ride, and he was on Philly. He was on Philly big.
Yeah. I know somebody bet. $2 million, or placed a $2 million bet on the game yesterday at the MGM. Yeah. I don't know who did it. And I don't really know what side they did. It's just that there was a report out there from actually a guy that did that prop bet with Maroon 5, Gil Alexander. He said,
let me reach out. I'm gonna reach out to some of these guys. I'll keep you guys posted. Maybe we could tweet it out off of our page too.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
But
any ref angle? You're the guy with always the ref angle.
I didn't see any for this one.
Any trends there?
No, the only thing
who's the ref?
I don't even know who it is, but I haven't really read anything about it or seen anything pop up about it, so I don't really think there's much out there on it. The only thing that I mean, the big stat that I've seen that I always kind of look at, and I know the prop bets kind of take a lot of the handle here, but since Nevada gaming control began tracking on the Super Bowl in 1991, states books have come out ahead in 26 of the 28 Super Bowls. The only losses were the Chargers and the 49ers in like mid-90s, and then the first Giants Patriots when everybody was taking the Giants on the money line with the big payout. So,
which bodes well for the Rams. I mean, everyone is on the path, man.
All right, and I know, like I said,
John Perry. Yeah. John Perry's real fun this game. I like John Perry.
Yeah.
He's not bad.
So, and I know the props dictate a lot of how the books do in these games because there's so many that, you know, they just kind of sweep up the vig and all that handle there. But I was listening to Chad Scooch earlier this week, and Scooch said that if the Rams don't cover, this is going to be one of their biggest losses on the Super Bowl ever. So, it just, you know, in these kind of situations, all the three of us, we kind of like to be on the book side. We don't like to, you know, be on the public and see the lights go out.
We got
to
go out with a bang. We smoked the regular season. We had an iffy playoffs. Let's go out. Man, Rams are going to win this game outright.
I did take the money line.
Let them win by two. Let them win by – or let New England win by two. Make Vic happy and make us happy with our plus – 2.5.
Yeah. I think that's fair, man. You guys have convinced me. I'm going to take the Rams, especially with like what you said. Like Vegas doesn't lose on these kind of games. I mean, it is.
No, never.
Their numbers tell you that the Rams on paper, if it was not the Patriots, are literally the better team.
Yeah. And I've actually, so my car's been in the shop. So I had a rental and had SiriusXM in there. So I don't know if you guys listen to VSiN with like Brent Musburger and all them.
Yeah.
But they have sportsbook directors on all the time on that show. And they're just talking about how they're like, you know what? We're comfortable needing the Rams in this spot. And anytime the books are comfortable needing the team, I'm comfortable betting that team. So
same with me.
I agree. You bring up a great point because like it was like 2 weeks ago when everyone was on. And sorry to bring this up, Eddie, because I know that one hurt your futures. But yeah. When like a book, literally, when every single bookmaker that weekend was like, "Hey guys, we're okay needing the Patriots this weekend," that's when I was like, "We need to go to the Patriots."
They're yeah.
Like, you know, I should have listened.
No, we should have listened. Yeah, we hard overhead sometimes.
When they say things like that, I mean, they're literally saying like, we feel really, really good because this is their jobs on the line. This is like millions of dollars on the line. Like, they are not going to feel good. Usually they should be nervous, right? If they thought it was like a very, very toss-up game or a very offline. But for them to say that, for you to hear that, that just makes me like the Rams even more.
Yeah, so I think the good kind of – we're on a consensus here. So I'm just kind of waiting on a three to pop up out there. So I use a lot of – I mean, all my books are offshore, so – Vic, you really think we can get a three if I wait?
Yeah,
just I think, man.
I see a few popped up yesterday. Now they're back at like 2.5. So I think what happened was like they went to three. A bunch of people jumped on to three. So they're now back at 2.5. But I'll tweet you guys when I see a three. I'm also going to reach out to some of the guys out there to talk about BetterX, John, and see if he's back and you know what side he's on.
Yeah, tag us on that tweet when you send that out. Have either of you guys – I know, Vic, you mentioned you got the Patriots early. Have either of you guys bet the game yet at all?
No, I haven't.
I took the Pats for half a unit at +1, and now I think I'm going to come around for a whole unit or maybe a unit and a half and just take the Rams +3 if I can wait. I'm going to try to get them +3.
Yeah, like I said, I did a little bit on the money line because I wanted to do like – at least a quarter of my bet on the money line and then probably the rest of it on the spread. But I really, really, really want a three. So I've been holding out for the past couple weeks. I mean, I have the option to buy it up at -130. So I think if, you know, we're getting kind of close to game time and it's still not showing up any three, I might do that. But I also don't want to do that because, you know, I'm laying a little extra vague. So even if I can get three -120, I'll be okay with that.
I just didn't want to buy the hook and lay the extra vig because I already have that Pats bet because then I'm like losing a ton of vig, right?
Yep.
So that's what I'm hoping to somehow naturally get to three, but I'll keep an eye out. I'll watch it.
Yeah, for sure. So, all right, guys, I think that's kind of our consensus that we're all going to go on the Rams. We'll say just a +2.5. And, you know, it's been a fun football season so far. Maybe we'll connect for some March Madness or something. We'll keep this going a little bit. So we can kind of talk about some gambling. So it's always good to talk about it. So I'm going to be in Vegas actually for March Madness.
Oh, nice.
It's going to be that's my awesome. First one out there. I want to get that off the bucket list. So I'll be heading out that Thursday, the first day. But yeah, we'll definitely connect, do a couple more of these podcasts and as the gambling
maybe
goes on.
Maybe a Super Bowl recap. We can connect. If not, you know, we'll definitely hit up on March Madness for sure.
At least you can enjoy a little bit, but it's awesome, man. You'll have a lot of fun, especially if you're going with your guys. And just take a lot of money and don't lose any money. But have fun, man. That'll be awesome.
That's the goal. So
it's been a fun season, boys.
Absolutely. It's been a good season, too. We had a great season. So let's hope we can finish it off right with the Rams. So go Rams this weekend, and appreciate everyone listening.
Yeah, thank you, fellas. It's been a pleasure. Eddie, thanks for getting this set up, man. It's been fun just kind of talking football with you guys, winning some money. Let's do it
here. Absolutely.
All right, guys. Good luck.
Good luck. See you,
guys. Rams. Later.